The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
It's time to get passionate about sports talk. This is Cheap Shots with Luther Broughton and Micah Warren. These two talk with the experts and are the experts when it comes to what's hot, what's next, and what will be in the sports world. Let's get this show on the road. Here's Luther and Micah.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another wonderful, very special episode of Cheap Shots. I'm Micah Warren.
LOL.
I'm Micah Warren. We got Luther Broughton with us, as always. Thank God. We got a lot to get through tonight, Luther. Real quick, though. But I have news for you, Luther. I have good news. Now, I think I mentioned something about this before, but I just got an email back from my Croatian friend. They're going to make the Cheap Shots logo for us, so we'll have T-shirts soon.
Are you kidding me? That's good stuff. It took us, what, a whole football season to get some T-shirts? Come on. You're slacking. You're not covering your end of the bargain.
That's probably on me. But Lindsay was supposed to do it. My wife, who made the logo, and she did a great job making the logo. And I was like, "You have to blow it up."
Sleep on the couch again tonight.
But for people that don't know anything about graphic design,
you're sleeping on the couch again tonight.
I sleep on the couch every night. For people that don't know, if you create the logo small, you can't blow it up and put it on a T-shirt. It'll look terrible.
Yeah,
so I had to have someone recreate it.
Terrible.
So yeah,
you know what else looks terrible?
What?
I'm gonna tell you what else looks terrible. And it's not necessarily on a T-shirt or on clothing or anything. This is generally on anyone that's out on the outside of a field on offense. Bradley Fletcher looks terrible on anyone.
He's bad.
Anyone.
Man.
He is the worst. How are our cornerbacks so much worse than any other ones in the league?
And why is
Chip Kelly saying that he's battling, we're not making a change? Who gives a shit if he's battling? I can battle and be terrible and get cut. That's the nature of the business. Why can he use an excuse to keep a terrible cornerback in the lineup? The excuse being that he's battling. What?
I'll go play hard.
I can play hard, and you can pay me less. You know what I'm saying? What are you talking about battling? He's battling. What? Battling what?
And not helping things is, at what point do you not leave him alone with one of the best receivers in football? Let's stay with that.
Please tell me why we didn't change that game plan. Why are we leaving him on an island on one of the – I think I saw something where Brian Dawkins just lost it about that. Why are we leaving Fletcher out on an island by himself? He gets ran by anyone. Anybody out there on the outside with him, they run by him. It's not even – they just run by him. How are you that bad and you're still starting? Dude, he puts a damper on everything. You know, speaking of dampers, the Eagles season wouldn't be – a damper for me if I don't know if I'm using that word properly. It wouldn't be bad for me. I wouldn't lose it if we don't make the playoffs. I wouldn't call it a failure if we didn't make the playoffs. Even if we won the last two games and didn't make the playoffs, we were terrible 2 years ago. And people are acting as if we're a Super Bowl team right now. We aren't. We're making the improvements. As much as I want to win the division, and you know, who is a fan of their team that doesn't want to win the division when they have a chance to? But what do we really want, to get in the playoffs and win one game or maybe one game again? What do you think of that, Micah? I just think I wouldn't cry if we didn't make the playoffs. We can't beat the good teams, and we need to get better. We absolutely need to get better on the perimeter of our defense. Our secondary is terrible.
it doesn't matter. I mean, yeah, you can make the argument that all you got to do is get into the dance and then anything can happen. And that is true. No one saw the Giants winning. But I just think Sanchez has taken him as far as he can go. We've hit the ceiling. We've seen how good this Eagles team can be with Mark Sanchez. I'm not trying to rag on Mark Sanchez, but
he's a backup quarterback right now. He's a backup quarterback, and he performed admirably for a backup. I mean, he's been okay, but he is our backup quarterback. But one of the problems I have is our stupid fans out there keep saying, well, we'll be okay because Nick Foles is coming back soon as well. Stop. Did they watch any of the games this season?
Yeah, did you notice no one was crying when Nick Foles got hurt?
No one was crying when Nick got hurt for a reason. They wanted to see what Sanchez can do, but I mean, come on, man.
Let's grab a call here, Luther. We got Arturo in Detroit. What's happening, brother? You're on Cheap Shots.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Can't complain.
Hey, so guys, I have a question after that Sunday night debacle. I know we've been crying for secondary for the last few seasons. Can you guys tell me why there hasn't been a conscious effort to address this issue among management?
I don't know why, Arturo. I don't know why. I want that question answered myself. I know people call in because they think we can give a pretty decent answer because we're supposed to be knowledgeable. But apparently I'm stupid because I don't know any better than the Eagles. I don't know any better than Chip or whomever is running this thing. We needed to improve at the cornerback, and we didn't. We stood pat with Kerry Williams and Fletcher. We drafted Sammy Watkins' brother late in the draft. He hasn't touched the field. We have Nolan Carroll, who has to be better than Fletcher because I'm better than Fletcher at corner. He has to be better, and he isn't getting in the game. Try something different. Change the starting cornerbacks. Even if you're thinking, oh, this guy, I don't think this guy's a fit on the outside, Boykin, because he's small, this, that, or the other. He can't be any worse than Fletcher. I don't think Jason Peter is any worse than Fletcher out on the corner.
Wow.
I mean, that's how bad it is. I completely agree with you. Why haven't we done anything to upgrade that position since last year?
Well, why are you taking Marcus Smith when there were several corners that were you could have taken there without being stretched?
Please explain to me why are we taking Marcus Smith. Explain to me why we reached on a guy. And did they panic, Micah? Did they panic because someone took the guy they really wanted? And then they took a guy who they could get maybe in the third round? The guy can't see the field. You know, it's really difficult as a rookie in the NFL. And one of the more difficult positions to play in the NFL as a rookie is quarterback. The next position that I think is really the most difficult to play other than quarterback is wideout. And you see this year that the wideouts are lighting it up. This is probably the best rookie wideout class in a while. Based on their performance this year. Not saying they're all Hall of Famers. Currently, this class is phenomenal. But one position that's easy to play because you should be able to do the one thing they drafted you for. They drafted you to rush the passer. That's something that should be able to translate. The guy can't get on the field and simply rush the passer when that's his specialty as a first rounder. You don't draft the first round defensive end project. You don't draft the first round defensive end to say, well, I know he's not going to play this year. He'll be ready next year. We'll be fine. No, you draft quarterbacks and say stuff like that. This guy can't get on the field even with injuries. I'm sorry. I just ripped that pick when it happened. I don't want to say I know it all, but come on, who is this guy? And why would you take him when there were other defensive backs on the board and that's a clear position of need?
Yeah, that's what my confusion was with this past draft. There were, no free agent signings. So, Chip likes the bigger corners or something like that. But
that's just baloney.
If they can't play, baloney. They can't play.
I don't care if it's Shaquille O'Neal and Akeem Olajuwon out there. Who cares if they're big? Bobby Taylor and Troy Vincent isn't walking through that door. So go and find you some corners that can play and quit looking for someone that's not there.
Yeah, I mean, again, there's corners available in the draft. They didn't do that. And you know what? This is a bigger problem I have, though. And this is one of the reasons I'm not as all in with Chip Kelly as a lot of other people are. You blew it.
blew it.
You blew your first round pick. You got rid of DeSean Jackson, who this offense clearly could use on the field. You told Evan Mathis to go seek a trade when he asked for more money. I still don't know. The player acquisition is very different in the NFL than it is in college. Very different. And maybe the coach, Chip Kelly, has good schemes. Maybe he's a great offensive coordinator. There's a lot more to being a head coach.
Is he though? I mean, look at the adjustments he's made. Call me when you find any adjustment he's made.
I mean, some of his play calling leaves a lot to be desired.
Because he thinks he can just do the college scheme like he did in college, where it works. Nobody adjusts. You've got the cream of the crop athletes at your university, and you can just beat guys with talent. You're just more talented than the other guy, and they get tired, and their second string is not even better than your fourth string. You can do that in college. You can't do that in this league. This league is just so much better. You can't do that in this league. You need to adjust. And it's taken him a hell of a long time to make some adjustments.
And in fairness to him, he's not exactly he doesn't have his guy at quarterback yet.
He doesn't. I don't care who he has at quarterback. That doesn't stop him from making a better call in the red zone.
Yeah, that I don't get. I thought we were done with that. I thought that left with Andy.
Apparently, it's stuck with us. Stuck.
Hey guys, not to cut you off. I have a Simple Luther. I hear that you're a college football enthusiast. I have a second question. That coaching job in Wisconsin, is Barry Alvarez that much of a jerk?
Wow.
That everybody wants to leave? It seems like it's a
very
carousel every
very
time.
Good question. I was trying to reach out to someone. You know, we had Cecil Martin was one of my teammates, and he's a Wisconsin guy, and I have to is Barry Alvarez the problem, or did that guy just want to get out of Wisconsin and go back on the West Coast? I don't know. But Brett Bielema left to go to Arkansas, and that's a Big Ten job. That's a program that you can actually take that program to the national championship. You can take that program to a national championship. I don't know why guys are leaving there left and right. He left there to go to Oregon State. Maybe because he's a West Coast guy, but wow. I really want to know a little bit more on that, Brian.
Can you explain the Nebraska, like the Nebraska situation? I mean, I think with Pelini, I felt they had their guy, and he won 9 games, 10 games in the 5-year span each year.
So,
and you're bringing in a different guy, Mike Riley, who's 60 years old.
Who's 61 years old. Now, explain to me why you would fire Pelini after he has improved. Now, I know Pelini is apparently kind of a tough guy to get along with. He's curmudgeonly, what have you. He didn't get along with that guy. But that same guy who he really didn't get along with at first just gave him an extension. So he wins 75% of his games, and he gets fired. This isn't Tom Osborne. This isn't Nebraska in its heyday. Nobody wants to go live in the cold. It's hard to recruit at Nebraska, no matter what scale of a program you think it is. This isn't the 80s anymore, the 90s, where you have Tom Osborne's factory there. It's really hard to recruit nowadays at Nebraska. And firing that guy after the 9-3 season, after improvement,
All right. Well, look, Arturo, thank you very much for the call. We have to take a break. We're a little late hitting the commercial.
All right, cool. Thanks, guys.
But, hey, thank you. We will be back on the other side with more Cheap Shots. We'll see you in a few minutes.
Your internet flagship station for sports. Voice America Sports.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter. Formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams, Kwame's got the experience. So he's prepared to talk sports with you every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern Time. get ready for an unpredictable, fun, and sometimes sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lasseter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
If you think you've seen online TV before, let us surprise you.
VoiceAmerica.tv is online now.
The leader in live internet talk radio has done it again. Multiple channels, a state-of-the-art viewing experience, live and on-demand programs streaming 24 hours a day. It's exactly what you want, when you want it.
VoiceAmerica.tv.
From health and wellness to business, sports, and everything in between. Discover our new world. Visit VoiceAmerica.tv now and experience the future of online television.
VoiceAmerica.tv.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neill. He's at
tough
the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
You're on Cheap Shots with Luther Broughton and Micah Warren. Get in on the shots by giving us a call now at 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or tweet us now at hashtag Cheap Shots. Now, back to the show.
Talking a lot of football tonight. There's a lot of stuff we got to get to. First, you can follow us on Twitter. You can follow Luther at, what, Richard84?
Yes.
And I'm at otrsportsonline.com. No, just at otrsportsonline. I've got others, but they're not as much fun as that account. So, Luther, did you watch any football last night?
Oh, dude, I watched very little football last night. I caught up on Scorpion last night. I watched very little football last night. That was horrible. I tried to watch the beginning, and I got a little sick.
No. Tell us about Scorpion. What is it? Tell us all about it.
No,
I've seen the commercials for it. I don't know what it is though. Is it something I should be watching?
It's probably something you should watch. It's apparently based on a true story. Some guy who has like the second highest IQ test ever, and they have it's a group of freaking basically geniuses, and they lead a group of some Homeland Security team. They're like a think tank, and they solve crimes or whatever. Of course, it's made for TV, but yeah. Anyways,
is it better than Two Broke Girls?
Well,
Luther, I'm not kidding. I need to talk about this. Have you ever seen
Kat
that show?
Kat Dennings, she is very well endowed, so I can tell you that I have different reasonings for watching Two Broke Girls.
You've seen it though.
Yeah, I watch it.
We don't. Oh my god, we don't watch sitcoms. I couldn't. I flipped. I just want to see what is it that people enjoy about this. So I just need to see. My jaw was dropped at the jokes they were making.
Oh, they
couldn't.
It's some terrible deadpan jokes, but the girls are not bad to look at. I stopped watching this year. It's DVR'd and I hadn't watched much this season.
I have a feeling Cam would watch that and be like, "You got to be kidding me."
And no, Cam would watch that and wish that he was still breastfeeding. Because so Kat Dennings is well endowed.
I like both of them in terms of their looks, but they're so bad.
The other chick is cute too, but whatever. Yeah, they're whatever.
So anyway,
let's talk about football.
In terms of football, so after the okay.
Hey, looks like we have a caller.
Let's take a caller before we get into that.
Yeah, before we start talking about I Love Lucy.
All right, let's go to Marty. Marty in Florida, you're on Cheap Shots. What's happening, Marty?
What's going on, fellas?
What's happening, Marty? What's shaking?
Hey, wasn't Scorpion, isn't that a Sylvester Stallone movie?
Well, you're talking about a movie. I don't know. you guys get me on TV shows. We can start
the,
a whole new character.
Sean Jackson and Chip Kelly thing, I was wondering, you know, it seems that a lot of head coaches, they all have egos, and they want to exercise their control. I mean, obviously, it seemed like maybe Deshaun was a little bit of a disruption in the locker room, and so Chip thought, okay, we'll ship him out, you know?
Right.
Seems like maybe Jay Gruden's kind of doing the same thing in Washington a little bit, exerting his control.
Right.
What do you think about that?
You saw that?
I don't know. Well, what did you see that makes you say that Gruden is exerting his control? Well,
I think what Marty's referring to.
You mean
to
the
is
comment Gruden. He made about Deshaun?
Yeah. That was not a glowing endorsement of Deshaun Jackson.
That wasn't
he was
glowing
very glowing in terms of Jerry Maclin being the type of player you would want.
Well, of course that's what you're – sometimes you don't want to give bulletin board material for your opponents. And I think maybe he was kind of doing that. But he was also taking a veil shot at Deshaun. But
right.
Come on. Deshaun has been injured. And he said as much. He's been injured, and we need the type of production he had before he got injured. So I don't know if that was much of a shot. Because he's taken some other shots this year as well towards his quarterbacks too. So, you know, maybe Gruden should call a few better plays before he starts taking shots. Because I do recall Andy Dalton getting a lot of the blame for Cincinnati's failures in the playoffs. But the play calling left a lot to be desired. And, you know, Gruden has a name, and that helps him. But I don't know. Maybe he should stop giving shots and stay in that film room and start getting some better play calling, because his team stinks under his leadership. So maybe he's the part of the problem.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I think that the onus falls on the head coach, period, whether or not they're the ones calling plays, but they are the ones that delegate the task. And so if that's where the problem is, then it's his job to fix it. But I think I do think Jay Gruden's done a decent job in heading the ship.
He's had
to deal with RG3 being injured and this, that, and that start when he started Colt McCoy at Dallas, and they came out of there with a win. That was pretty impressive.
But back to
Philly, because I know you know it's a Philly type deal.
We talk about whatever.
Chip. You know, Chip shipping Deshaun away. I mean, I thought maybe he should have probably tried to work that out better.
I think that horse is dead.
But,
oh, I'm sorry, I cut you off. I think that horse is now glue. We've beaten that horse to death, and you know, there are some things to be said about that, but we have the benefit to know that we don't have a big play receiver on the outside, and the replacement was Riley Cooper. So,
but he was just kind of a stopgap receiver to begin with.
Well, and they decided to give him a contract.
He was never a number one.
Yeah, but he's paid as a number two. We replaced a guy averaging 20-something yards a catch with a fifth wideout, and we paid him like a number two. So that's another part of the problem there. And bottom line is, you have a guy you don't want. He's a commodity. He's a playmaker, and you don't have any corners. Maybe you should try to trade him for a corner, even if it's another team's nickel corner. We got nothing for the guy. Nothing.
No one would give anything up.
Of my biggest problem, because we are the Titanic. We leaked everything about this story. We leaked the fact that we wanted to get rid of him. We leaked so much that everybody just waited. They waited them out.
And then you came away with nothing.
And then you tried to dog him, and that didn't really work. So whatever.
Yeah, and that worked pretty bad with Dez the other night. I couldn't believe they kept leaving him on an island like that.
We talked about that a little earlier.
I heard you.
It baffles me. It really baffles me. But Marty, I see you're from Florida. Are you a Tampa, Miami fan, or Jacksonville? You got some crappy teams now.
I'm in between markets. I mean, I'm kind of a Jags fan because they're right up the road, and I've gone to some of their games. But I mean, it's hard to be a diehard fan when it's an expansion team and this, that, and I'm kind of a free agent a little bit. I mean, I like the Dolphins. I don't know. I guess I'm one of those oddities that doesn't really attach himself to a team too much, just because I grew up in kind of a market that's in between teams. You know, I don't have a big affiliation, so I've just been a big, you know, football fan in general.
I got you.
None of those teams are really giving you a huge reason to join them.
No, they're not. I mean, and don't
Traveler,
be
so to
crazy
speak.
Enough to join the Eagles bandwagon, because we live in misery.
All right.
Well, I think we're getting close to a break, so
We'll just
Marty,
move on.
Thanks for calling us, and try us back next week, buddy.
All right, fellas, man. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks, bro.
thanks, Marty. So here's the thing I was alluding to regarding last night's game, and we can get to this on the other side because we're heading into a break. But when we get back here, I do want to talk about Mark Trestman and the report that he's going to be fired at the end of the season, which, shocker. I mean, that team is so bad. They're 5-9. How the hell did they win 5 games? They're playing so bad right now. They are playing terribly.
They gave up Lovie Smith for this guy. Not that Lovie's burning up in Tampa, but, I mean, the guy was not, 10-6 that last year in Chicago, and they fired him for this guy.
What has Trestman done? I just don't get it. Look, I'm going to get into this on the other side, Luther. I want to talk about this some more, but right now we got to take a quick break and
pay these
right
bills.
Pay these bills on Cheap Shots.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
They need to bench his ass and then move on.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
This week on The Revolution with Jim and Trav, that's presented by Outdoor Channel.
We're going after elk, and our hunting party will include executive producer of Realtree Outdoors, David Blanton, outdoor writer Tim McWelch, Cabela's optics manager, Phil Severinsen, and award-winning author, Keith McCafferty.
Did you know that elk threaten each other by curling back their upper lip, grinding their teeth, and hissing softly? That's what Jim does!
And it's presented to you by Outdoor Channel at OutdoorChannel.com.
Friday afternoons at 1 Pacific time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Sports and medicine go hand in hand. Quite simply, if you aren't up to your game health-wise, you won't be up to your game on the field. That's where Bruce the Sports Doc comes in. Dr. Bruce Grossinger uses his medical training and experience to bring you a link between sports and medicine, from the latest advances and treatments to discussion behind the injuries of the week. Bruce the Sports Doc and his team of guest experts are here each week to lay it on the line in terms that you can understand. Tune in every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Follow the Voice America Talk Radio Network on Twitter. We're at Voice America TRN. You'll get the latest fix on what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and general happenings that you should know about at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Now you don't have to miss anything when you're away from your home or office. Just go to twitter.com/Voice America TRN or follow along with us at Voice America TRN, the Voice America Talk Radio Network. We're on the cutting edge of social media. Can you keep up?
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You're on Cheap Shots with Luther Broughton and Micah Warren. Get in on the shots by giving us a call now at 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or tweet us now at #CheapShots. Now, back to the show.
So finishing up on this topic. So there's so the Bears look terrible, and there's a report that Trestman's going to be gone after, you know, after this year, that the ownership met. Not shocked. Luther, I couldn't believe they hired him in the first place. What's he done? Wasn't he like offensive coordinator at Arizona, and then he had some success in Canada? Who gets talent from Canada?
Right. He was like in San Francisco, and then I remember he got in an argument with T.O., but that's not a surprise. And he was also in Arizona, I believe, and then he went to Canada, and I guess he resurrected his career, but that thing is dead again.
So I couldn't believe that. And then so this guy that made the report also said they met, and that Phil Emery, his status hasn't been decided yet.
Phil Emery should be gone.
Wouldn't you agree the two most important components of a team are your head coach and the quarterback?
And okay. He signed Mark Trestman and Cutler to that. They outbid themselves to pay Cutler a shit ton of money.
I don't get it. How is his job still safe? I don't get it.
I don't know. I keep telling you that I can be a crappy GM.
Yeah, really, let Luther and Micah run your team. We can't be that bad.
I can't. I there's no way I can be that bad. I don't care what you say. I can't. I don't think I could be that bad.
No, I don't think so either. So now, if you're an Eagles fan now, I don't know. I don't think we got into this yet. Foles, they're saying Foles is 70% with his collarbone.
What does that mean? What does that even mean? That's like one of Stephen King's.
Peter King.
Not Stephen King. Peter King's like, I think I'm 50% believing they're 90% going to win this week. What does that mean?
But that's a legit 50%.
It's a legit 50%. Like, what does that mean? The second day I ever played football in my life, I broke my collarbone. I can tell you, I had no idea what percentage I was. How do you get a percentage of healing? Like, whatever. He's either healthy or not. He's not. So
he's not, and he's not going to be. So basically, you're riding Sanchez probably into the playoffs if you even make them.
Barkley, baby.
Yeah, let's give Barkley a shot.
We might as well see what he can do. I mean, I'm whatever.
But you've seen what he can do.
See what he can do. I wouldn't mind seeing what he can do. I'm not saying I'm giving up on Sanchez, but if see what he can do. He can't be much worse than Mark was last couple weeks. Can he? I remember they were talking about this guy being a top five pick in the draft when was it Robert Griffin Jr. and Andrew Luck? Barkley was supposed to be a top five guy. Wow. Well, we see how bad RG3 has looked. So it could have been on point.
Man.
It could have been kind of on point. That's why the other guy the other day was saying on a Facebook page of ours that are we going to pull a Mike Ditka and trade our whole draft for Marcus Mariota? Are you kidding me?
No.
How many quarterbacks who are that guy bust out? How many of them pan out anyhow? Like, why would that question even be posed? Why would the Eagles team, who are that close to being really good, trade everybody to get a quarterback when you have no cornerback at all?
Like, yeah, you still have other holes. You can't be doing that.
You why is that even a question?
And he's never played in the NFL, so you're trading your.
Never played in the NFL. You're talking about trading your whole draft for someone who has never played in the NFL. Come on, why is that even a question?
The Eagles wouldn't be in striking distance to even get him. You'd have to trade way too much.
They would have to trade their whole draft. They would have to trade their whole draft just to be in striking distance. I mean, who does that? Wow, looks like we're caller heavy today. We got a Jeremy from New Jersey.
What's happening, Jeremy?
Hey, you guys are a little hard to hear on the phone.
Oh, okay. We got that corrected, huh?
Either that or our callers have lousy phones.
I think you just have a lousy phone, Jeremy.
That's very possible. You know, that Furman degree. That's what it gets me.
We got a Furman caller in the house. Have to be intelligent. Wonder which one of the co-hosts went to Furman.
I'm going to go with Luther.
Oh, there you go.
What's happening on your mind, Jeremy?
I know you got some Giants questions for me calling from New Jersey.
About, how, you know, teams giving up whole drafts for one player. Mm-hmm. Can you think of the last time that worked?
Yeah, never. Mike Ditka did it at the Saints, and Ricky lasted 3 years there, did he?
Yeah,
but it never
works.
But even more to his point, you look what the Redskins did. No, they didn't give up their entire draft, but they mortgaged the future.
Yeah, and Jeff Fisher shoved it in their face by putting those guys out at midfield last week.
That was awesome.
What do you guys think about that? I mean, I loved it. It's funny.
I thought it was obnoxious, but funny.
I agree with Jeremy. That's kind of douchey.
Oh, 100%.
That's really douchey. It's not douchey because it's the Redskins. That's the only reason it's not douchey to me. But it was douchey, and it's coming from a guy who, in my opinion, is one of the most overrated coaches ever. Jeff Fisher? Yes.
Maybe.
I'm sorry. I think Jeff is supremely overrated. What has he done other than taking Tennessee to the Super Bowl that 1 year? He's been incredibly consistently mediocre since.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, he's never had since then.
Don't you guys agree?
He had one great quarterback, and he managed to succeed with a great quarterback, and that's it.
Yeah, but what, and he didn't do anything else with that great quarterback.
Or vice versa.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Maybe it's him.
I don't think
anyone's changing Luther's mind.
He seems like a real arrogant ass.
Yeah, he seems like...
I think you
like
have to be a head coach. I really do.
Oh, you have to be a bit of an arrogant, but you don't have to be an ass.
Yeah, he puts it in everyone's face.
Like Chip Kelly.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to badmouth the Eagles, you know. Us Giants fans don't have much to talk about this year.
You Giants fan have two Super Bowl wins in the past 6 years. You can say whatever the hell you want to say.
Now, Jeremy, if it wasn't for Odell Beckham, would you have killed yourself already?
No, because hockey season started.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So well, it's getting much better.
Yeah, talk about hockey so I can shut up.
Are you a Rangers or Devils guy?
Oh, Devils fan.
Good. I stopped watching the Flyers. They're disgusting. They're just terrible. And I kept holding out hope, thinking, oh, you know, you got some good players. You got Giroux, Couturier, whatever. You know, Wayne Simmons I love.
Oh, yeah, Wayne Simmons.
Yeah, that's the one that Luther knows. They're just not good.
I don't know who Wayne Simmons is. Is he the black guy?
Yes.
Well, I didn't even know that, so I was trying to be funny and just pick a name and go with it.
Yeah,
my bad.
The black guy.
Well, of course I picked a black guy. I have bigot. No culture. Bigot. Oh, Lord.
All right, Jeremy, you got to get a question.
What's up with these teams with the mumps?
You know, it's Canada does not vaccinate children for the mumps, so apparently when they get an outbreak, it's a big deal.
Aha.
You notice all the players that are coming down with it, I mean, they're not all on Canadian teams, but with the close contact, obviously, you know, players banging into each other, it's all Canadian-born people that have come down with it.
Interesting. Now we're going to get the vaccination people calls.
Exactly. Oh, God. Yeah.
Great. What else you got, Jeremy? Anything else on your mind?
That's about it. You guys have exhausted everything on my mind.
All right. Well, look, thank you for the call, brother. We appreciate it.
Anytime.
Go Paladins. F you.
Exactly. All the time.
All right.
Be good.
Be good.
Bye.
Yep.
Oh, well, your Furman alumni contacts.
Listen, if my Furman alumni want to call in, that gets us more more clicks. So whatever. We look good.
I don't think we've had any callers from Boston University yet.
Come on, get it together, man.
I have no school spirit, Luther. Apparently. I've got none. But I didn't play it. Well, I played tennis for 2 days, but I didn't play a sport to where like I would care. We have hockey. That's it.
I played tennis for 2 days.
Yeah. So moving on, the Eagles need some help here with the Cowboys. They're hosting the Colts, where Dallas has not played particularly well at home.
Let's start off by saying the Eagles need to win their own games. We don't have a cornerback, and the Giants have a guy named Odell Beckham Jr.
Right. So they'll just put him on Fletcher Island. Done. Put him on Fletcher Island. That's all you got to do. And you're right. You're right, Luther. These are division games, so there's certainly nothing guaranteed with those.
Familiarity.
But I think your best bet, you got to assume the Eagles can take care of business.
Yes, you can assume the Eagles can take care of business. All I'm saying is we better take care of business and not worry about what the Cowboys are doing.
You're going to need you need Dallas to lose to Indy. That's just a fact. Now, there's some discrepancy as to whether or not the Colts have anything to play for. Pagano has said we're keeping our foot on the gas. I think the Colts, with a little bit of help and a couple wins, can get a 2 seed. So there is something for them to play for. Here's my question. DeMarco Murray has a busted hand. If he doesn't play, I think people are making too big a deal of it. Is he a great back? Yes.
First off, Dallas's offensive line is tremendous, and Dallas has two good backup running backs. They have a quarterback who's looking healthier and playing well, and then they have Dez Bryant on the outside, Williams on the outside. They have Jason Witten. They have that Cole Beasley cat, and the offense is playing well. DeMarco Murray being out is a big deal. I don't want to downplay it too much, but it's not a big of a deal as people want to think it is, because Dallas can run with their other running backs.
Not bad.
No, he's not bad. And what's the guy's name who stole stuff?
That's Joseph Randle. Vaughn Dunbar is the other guy.
Well, who's Oh, Dunbar's been getting more time than Randle, but
probably
I guess
because Randle's a thief.
Thief, yeah. But well, I mean, I don't think the Cowboys' problem is going to be on the offensive side of the ball.
No, it's probably going to be a shootout, and surprisingly, they've gotten that defense isn't very good, but it's a lot better than we thought it'd be.
Yeah, it's a lot better than we thought it would be. It's not tremendous. I mean,
no, but they've gotten something out of Rolando McClain. No one else has been able to do that.
They've gotten a lot out of Rolando McClain.
Seriously. I think Bruce Carter's still a decent linebacker. No, does it help? I mean, people talk about them losing DeMarcus Ware and Sean Lee, and they're a big deal. I think losing Jason Hatcher was a bigger deal. I thought he was their best player last year on defense.
Jason Hatcher was their best player on defense. He was absolutely their best player last year. That was a big deal because they're already used to being without Sean Lee. Sean Lee is always hurt, so they can deal with being without him. Jason Hatcher was the biggest deal.
I think so too. So anyway, we're heading to a break here, Luther. I guess when we come back, you want to take a look at some of the playoff matchups and scenarios?
Sure. All right.
It'll be crazy. We'll be right back on the other side. This is Cheap Shot.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Sports.
The job of a professional athlete is never complete. In Life After the Game, host Lamar Campbell will take an inside look at how athletes are making the transition from the professional athletics world to the professional business world. You'll understand the goals, motivations, and personalities that drive these players off the field and in their post-professional career. Tune in to Life After the Game with Lamar Campbell every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Okay, sports fans, here's your opportunity to discuss football, America's favorite sport. On an annual basis, millions of people attend, watch, and listen to football, both pro and college. Ray Ellis Sports, an internet talk radio show, was developed with the fan in mind. Join host former Philadelphia Eagles and Cleveland Browns strong safety, Ray Ellis, on Voice America Sports every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific for exciting, interactive football discussions from the fans' perspective. Tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific to Ray Ellis Sports, right here on the Voice America Network. And let's talk football.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's out.
Tough shot. Got it. With 2.8 seconds left.
To left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
You're on Cheap Shots with Luther Broughton and Micah Warren. Get in on the shots by giving us a call now at 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or tweet us now at hashtag Cheap Shots. Now, back to the show.
So something I wanted to ask you about, Luther, and it came up earlier in the show with Wayne Simmons, and you guessed the one black guy or whatever. I have a question for you, not as a former athlete, but as an African-American. There was like controversy a couple years ago because a white guy wore a Wayne Simmons jersey to a Flyers game, but instead of saying Simmons where his name was, it said the black guy. Is that offensive? I wouldn't do it. I think he was trying
to be funny.
Right.
Because people probably always associated the one black dude on the hockey team, if they can't remember his name, the black dude. That's like going to the damn gym playing basketball in a park near the hood, and you're saying, well, who was Sean? And you're like, the white dude. He's the only white guy out there. You're not going to say the blonde guy. You're going to say the white guy. If he was the only white guy out there, we're too sensitive.
The European American dude.
We're too sensitive. I'm sorry. We're too damn sensitive.
So let's
that, kind of- I call that kind of a funny joke. It might have hit people the wrong way, and then it comes off as a bad joke. But it wasn't some super insensitive thing. It could have been a bad joke, a bad attempt at a joke.
There could have been worse things written. He could have written.
Yeah, He could have written something. You know how I get with that. Certain things bother me. Certain things don't. But it takes a lot. I don't get overly sensitive with the whole race issue. That's like people who are surprised that some old 80-something-year-old Donald Sterling has some type of issue with blacks. What? Why are you surprised?
Or Paula Deen.
Are you surprised?
And that's not to excuse what they did or excuse that way of thinking.
Not at all.
It's just saying I'm not shocked. Well, even
why are you shocked?
The Duck Dynasty guy, when he did, was it a Rolling Stone interview, and he made some negative comments about gay people or whatever. Like, are you really that shocked?
Are you really that shocked? I'm not saying it's right, but people are like, oh my God, I just can't believe he said that. Really? You can't? You can't believe he said that. Come on.
That's like looking at like a Ferguson press conference and be like, I can't believe Al Sharpton is standing there. I can't believe it. Yeah, I can.
You mean you can't believe he didn't get there quicker? Come on.
Oh, Lord. So, Luther, I have a question for you as we head into the NFL playoffs. AFC, obviously we like the Patriots, I would have to assume. Denver should be a closer second. Is there something wrong with them? They just don't look as dominant. Don't tell me it's because of Eric Decker.
Well, they were dominant earlier without Eric Decker. It's not Eric Decker. It's people. It's the NFL. People catch up. They adjust. And on top of that, their two top running backs are. And I'm sorry, the top three running backs are now hurt. You had someone else was injured, and people. Oh, their linebacking corps is just tore up.
Trevathan just came back.
Trevathan just came back. So they've had injuries, but Micah, they're winning. They're winning games. You could win ugly, and it still counts. They've beaten good teams. It's not like they're the Eagles who beat two good teams, Dallas and Indy. They've beaten good teams, and they still have Peyton Manning at quarterback. They don't have Sanchez at quarterback. So I say that Broncos are happy that people are looking past, kind of wanting to look past them. They want go ahead and give the Patriots. You want to crown them? Crown them, like Denny Green would say. They want you to go ahead and forget about them. They don't need the attention. They got whacked in the Super Bowl last year.
I'm not even saying anybody should look past them.
That's where I'm evolving to. They don't look as strong as last year offensively. They aren't lighting it up, but they're still winning games. And they're in closer games, which makes the team, which makes it more competitive. They have to play. They can't just stop playing in the third quarter. Maybe it's good for them. Maybe. I'm not saying it is. Maybe it's good for them. And they're getting healthier. The tight end is also out.
Oh, he's killing me. I have him in a couple fantasy leagues. He killed me this year. He was winning games all by himself, and then all of a sudden he started getting nagging injuries. Don't get me started with that. But the Broncos really could use home field advantage because there's nobody else that has that. That altitude is a man.
Yeah, that's a beast.
Do you trust them to go into New England if they don't get home field?
I think they can go to New England and win, but I think they can go to New England. You don't think they can win a game in New England?
Can they?
You don't think they can win a single game in New England? New England is not – I mean, come on. They can win a game in New England.
They can.
About like super dominant team. Like, they can win a game in New England. They can win a game in New England. Should they beg for home field? Sure, but they can win a game in New England. The team is good enough to go and win on the road.
Did you ever play in Denver?
I never played in Denver.
Because everything I've heard, I was
it burns. Every guy tells me it for the first few minutes. It just burns, and then you kind of get used to it a little bit, but it burns like heck. So
there was a guy that used to be the strength and conditioning coach for Joe Gibbs and for what's his name, Fossil with the Giants, Mother Dunn. Mm-hmm. I was talking to him years ago. It was actually right before 9/11. Remember, the Giants were in Denver the night before that happened, And so I asked him, I was like, well, are you going to get there like maybe a week ahead of time to get acclimated? He said, I would need 2 full weeks of my guys up there to get acclimated.
Yep.
That's what kind of a home field advantage that is.
You can't, you don't just get acclimated. You need to go there a couple of weeks in advance. Just like he said, you don't go there. You kind of get used to it during the game. You get used to the burn is what I heard, but it doesn't go away. It's there for the most part. So
could you imagine? Yeah. Could you imagine if Chip Kelly got the Broncos job and he was running that offense and you had to keep up on defense?
You would have guys falling out every play, faking injuries.
You'd have a lot of fake injuries.
He hurt his fingernail the other night and got up holding his finger.
You think he was faking it?
Oh, totally.
But see, that's why. I mean, I think the announcers have done a better job of that now, of explaining why Eagles fans are booing injuries. Because if you don't know, it looks like we have a fan base that boos injured players, and that's not good. We already have a bad enough reputation. We don't need that.
Nah, they were booing because he was holding his freaking hand. And right when we finally started to get the offense going, then they had his injury. Then he came in the very next play like nothing happened, so whatever.
Well, and there's no way to police that either.
No, there isn't.
There's no way. You have to err on every side of, you know, player safety.
Mm-hmm.
Now, speaking of, I'm just looking at the standings here. New Orleans 6-8 atop the NFC South,
and they could beat Arizona at home if Arizona slips now. But you know what? Arizona just won, so they're not slipping down. If Arizona ends up slipping down.
Can they make it with Ryan Lindley? I mean, how many injuries can they take? Ooh. If you look at Carson Palmer going down, Drew Stanton, not even all that great, was playing all right. Not all that great. He gets hurt. You've been without Darnell Dockett. You've been without Darrell Washington all year. You lost Andre Ellington.
They got a lot to overcome.
And they have. They're 11-3. And yep. if the Cowboys win out, there's a situation where if the Cowboys win out, or if the Cowboys are in a wild card situation, and they're facing Seattle, Seattle might not make the playoffs.
Yep.
Because Dallas has the tiebreaker.
Yep.
So the 6-8 team would be in, and the Seahawks would be home.
And the
Eagles
would be home, wouldn't we?
I don't know. No, they would. If they win the division, they would be, yes. So anyway, Luther, it's our time. We have to go. Any parting shots? I'm close to getting the file. I should have the t-shirts ready this week. So we should
have any parting shots. You just need to get it together, man.
I'm working on it. But anyway, I want to thank everyone that listened. Thank everybody that called in. We had a lot of callers this week. That's a lot for an hour for us.
For real. We hadn't had 3 callers the whole year. We're getting it going, man. Getting it going. Did you really have to debunk my statement? You could have gone with it.
All right, look, everybody, thanks a ton. I'm Michael Warren. He's Luther Broughton, and we will see you next week on Cheap Shots. Take care.
Boom.
Thanks for being part of the show. Luther and Michael will be here for another edition of Cheap Shots next week. Remember to catch us live every Tuesday at 4 p.m. in the West and 7 p.m. in the East on the Voice America Sports Channel. Let's talk again soon.